Wow, synthesis. Synthesis. Okay, give me a quick look up. Analysis and synthesis, somebody. Analysis and synthesis. Look it up, please, quickly. Everybody, don't wait on somebody else to do it. You do it and be the first to put in the text chat. Analysis, synthesis. All right, so we got it. We have the combination of ideas into a complex whole. Okay, so and the analysis is the opposite. Come up with a quick definition for analysis. All right, come on, keep going. Isachar, what'd you find? Now, what'd you find?
I have to open up another browser now because for some reason I was trying to do it on the IO page, but it's gray in the browser and it's not letting me type anything in it.
All right, there's a saying, a whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Analysis here is separation or components, those are parts. Separation of a whole into its constituent parts in order to study the parts and their relations. Okay? And so there's analysis and then there is synthesis. Okay? So here you have the author breaking down or looking at the various parts. Okay. All right, let's go on with this writing. And again, these things are upside down, unfortunately, but you can rotate it again after you read that page, and you'll see how we're going to go through. This person is broken down to five qualities, five parts, okay? As he's looking at the English language and why it's the largest, according to him, why it's the most widely spoken language in the world, and according to him, why it is gained in its significance. And he's going to be analyzing that. Okay, there is, according to him, there is a fact. It's the most widely spoken language in the world. And he's going to analyze that. Why is that? Okay. And number one, he says, all right, and what is that? What's reason number one? Just give me the summary. Don't give me his whole thing. What's reason number one? Find the line that says, what's reason number one? It's in the second paragraph. There's no mystery here. He says, first and most importantly, that's reason number one. Type it in the text chat, please.
Okay, you want us to type the first sentence of the second paragraph?
You don't have to type the first sentence. You can just summarize it. I ask what he's breaking down the parts. He makes a claim. English is significant, and he's going to look at some of the features which make it stand out as a language that has world significance. Blah blah blah. Number one is what he calls extraordinary receptiveness and adaptable heterogeneousness. Okay, that's number one. Okay, Aquila says extraordinary. No, not extraordinary. It's extraordinary it's extraordinary receptiveness. Okay, he's not just saying it's extraordinary. He's saying the particular part, that particular feature, and that is receptiveness and adaptable heterogeneousness is extraordinary. All right, you got that, Aquila? Okay. All right, no problem. All right. So it's receptive and adaptable heterogeneousness. Okay. All right. That's number one. Everybody, type that down. Now we're going to skip on down. We're going to paragraph two. You'll have to rotate that page too. Come on, type in the text chat, please. We're analyzing. Here is a claim. Then we're breaking it down. We want to do this quickly because we want to get to the part where you get to do a piece of this, all right? All right, Ife, please type. Okay, I mean, I'm already saying thank you very much. Okay, Safia, please type. Now, please type. Isachar, please type. Aquila, Akanke. Ife, that it in this case is possessive, but another quirk of this so-called wonderful language is that it apostrophe s stands for it is. Normally it would be absolutely right, it's, as in it's being possessive, so your thinking is right, it's just that the language is whack in this instance. So that would be its with no apostrophe, even though it's a possessive. Okay, same thing for you, Akilah. That you, the first time you Kanke has it correct, except for it would be great if she capitalized that I. That it apostrophe s does not work here, because it apostrophe s in the English language stands for it is. Okay, a contraction. Now both of them should be right. Okay, because the rule is you put an apostrophe s when you're talking about a possessive. It's just as one of those you have to remember. Okay. Right. All right. Which one is that, Isaacar? Is that number two? Well, yeah, they teach it like it's absolute. All right, great. Put number two beside it, please, so we can keep it up with it. Number one, number two. All right, Isaacar is ahead. He's saying reason number two is. I'm not sure about that, Isaacar. Reason number two is actually going to be in paragraph two. This is another claim, as he's describing and talking about, it was clean and pure, and then it became, I guess, unclean and unpure anyway. No, that's not number two. One of the things you're also learning as you watch this is you're learning how he's talking about different features in different paragraphs, okay? Now, he throws in the second paragraph that word copious, though its copiousness of vocabulary is outstanding. Okay, he could have said, though it has a copious vocabulary. Okay, again, it goes back to its amazing variety and heterogeneousness, which is even more striking, and he goes back to receptiveness. Okay, all right. Now, third paragraph. All right, line 27. A second outstanding characteristic of English is what? Simplicity. Just rotate it and slide on down. Akilah, I'm sorry. Print it out on the printer. When I rotate mine, I can scroll down. The top changes, the first page changes because it was scanned in differently. But when I rotate it, the last two pages of this are in order, okay? So right now we're only focusing on page 142 and 143, okay? And we'll go to 144, 145. At that point, it flips back around, you know? So just rotate it again. You're doing great. Now, normally I don't have you do this, but I didn't have time. I just wanted to make sure that you could get it, okay? And so we just got to roll with it. So put down the second part is in paragraph three. A second outstanding characteristic of English is its simplicity of inflection, the ease with which it indicates the relationship of words in a sentence with only the minimum of change in their shapes or variations of endings. There are languages, such as Chinese, that have surpassed English in the reduction of the language in the matter of inflections to what looks like just a series of fixed monosyllabic roots. But among European languages taken as a whole, English has gone as far as any in reducing the inflections it once had to a minimum. A natural consequence of this simplifying of inflection by reduction, however, is that since the relationship of words to each other is no longer made clear by their endings, this must be done in another way. So, where are we? We're in paragraph number three, and it has a number three beside it. Okay? All right? And it's on page 142. Now we're going to number four. A third quality of English is its relatively fixed word order. All right? Relatively fixed word order. So there he's going to say some things about its fixed word order. Okay? And he's, in this case, comparing it to an inflected language like Latin or Russian can afford to be fairly free in the arrangement of its words, since the inflections show clearly the proper relationship in the sentence, and ambiguity is unlikely. But in a language which does not change the form of its words according to their relationship in the sentence, significance, the order of the words is likely to be relatively fixed. Okay. All right, that's number four. So in your text chat, you should be, by number four, you should have its relatively fixed order. All right, so it's looking at these things and it's giving some analysis. In this case, it's comparing and saying why with Latin you can put things in different order and some other languages, why in English you got to have a fairly fixed order. Okay. All right, let me, now number five, paragraph five. This should be in your text chat, at least a summary of this. Another consequence, fourthly, of the loss of reduction to the minimum of inflections which English once had is the growth of the use of paraphrases or roundabout ways of saying things, and the use of prepositions to take the place of the lost inflections. Okay. Now let me stop right here to make sure that you're understanding this analysis. We've so far gotten four parts of this analysis, and those four parts are what? Anybody? If you know one part, say that. What are the parts? We've gone through paragraph four and five, and I've asked the question for you to tell me what are the four different parts that he's analyzed so far. I understand. You're on the delay. That's cool. I hear you. Please forgive me if my tone is a little sharp. I'm just trying to get a lot in, okay? I will be making some changes in schedule so that I'm not having to be out when I need to give help in that way, like I had to do today. Because I want to be able to give you my best and consistently. So, but I also need y'all to step up with this. If you're on a delay, tell me. If not, I really expect for you to be asking questions or firing up the text chat. I want to be interactive, I'll put the preacher away if I can. Isaac Char, you have a lot to do with that. Please type in or say what are the four parts that have been analyzed so far, all the way through and including paragraph five.
One of the things that's been analyzed is the endings of English language, of the endings and how it be paraphrased.
What did he say about that? I don't see that as one of the main parts that he's analyzing. But tell me about it. I may have missed it.
It was saying how it the endings doesn't go with I can't remember exactly how he worded it, but he basically what he was saying was that with the endings it doesn't make it go into different ways that you use it, like how in French or anything you use a different ending for male, female, or a group of people.
Yes, Ife, you may.
He also analyzed how many people speak English in the world, and he his thoughts on that was that most people in the world speak English. Well, I mean, a large portion of people in the world speak English. And I'm not sure if this was a point, but he also said that the language was pure until it was tainted from other cultures and everything.
Okay. Here's and this is so important, so I'm really glad we're going through this and with example, okay? That is, the first thing that we're doing, and this is where your outlining or brainstorming would come, you're looking at the different features, okay? You're looking at, he says we're going to break these in part. This is analysis, okay? So he's saying, I want to be able to show why, okay? Why this English language is the language, okay? As he says, the first introductory paragraph sets it out, okay? Okay, and then he begins to identify the information in paragraph number two. Again, the English language is spoken or read by the large number of people in the world for historical, political, and economic reasons. But it may also be true that it owes something of its wide appeal, okay, to the qualities and the characteristics inherent in itself. What are these characteristic features which outstand in making the English language what it is, which give it its individuality and make it of this world wide significance? So he's saying it's fact, according to him or his belief, that English is spoken by the largest number of people in the world. Okay, and he says for historical, political, and economic reasons. He then says it may also be true, that it owes something of its wide appeal to qualities or characteristics inherent in itself. Letting you know, now let's look at what are these characteristic features, essentially, which make it, give it worldwide significance. So that's the introduction. So now you're listening for those things. Paragraph number two. First and most important is its extraordinary receptiveness and adaptable heterogeneousness. That's number one. That's the first sentence of it, and that's the part. We're not dealing with what comes under it right now. Whether something was pure or not pure, that ain't the point. The feature of the language that he's saying gives it its worldwide significance and makes it so that it's the largest language spoken by the largest number of people is its receptiveness and adaptable heterogeneousness. All right, that's the first sentence of paragraph number two. Now, all writers don't let you be as clear about it right at the beginning of each paragraph, but this person's conveniently made it there for you. Number two, a second outstanding characteristic of English is its simplicity and inflection. Okay, now in that section, he's going to talk about simplicity and inflection, and he's going to tell you why, and he's going to compare it to Chinese and whatever. And that whole paragraph is designed to support this particular feature, its simplicity and its inflection. Okay, he may tell you why it's necessary, why it's not necessary, all of that. But the key is the part that he's dealing with. Type it in the text chat, somebody. Okay, number two is its simplicity and inflection. Number the third one, which is in the fourth paragraph. Somebody read that and tell me. What is the third quality, the third feature of English that he is saying, he's analyzing and saying this makes it attractive? Okay. All right. Y'all with me? Come on, y'all.
Oh, okay. I think I found it. I might have found it. The third one is, I think he's saying that English doesn't have a whole bunch of different endings for the same words, so it doesn't make it so hard to understand. And he's saying that it doesn't have a hodgepodge of different endings just for different situations and everything, like Chinese languages and such. I think that's what his third point is.
That's not the third part. That's a part of part number two. That's part of number two. You just go to the beginning of the sentence of paragraph number four. It says the third quality, y'all. Can y'all see? Hello, and y'all looking at the same book, pages. The third quality, okay, of English, therefore, is this relatively fixed order. What we're looking at is parts, y'all. Not the subparts in it, okay? When you analyze something, you're going to be dealing with the various parts, okay? And he's analyzing these parts of the English language as he's directed. Somebody else may have been looked at different parts, but he's looking at these parts, okay? And he may make other statements and comparisons while he's talking about it. But paragraph number four articulates the third quality. Somebody type in the text chat, it's relatively fixed order, okay? And then he tells why that in a inflected language like Latin or Russian, they can in fact have a freely fixed order. But because of what he just said up in the previous paragraph, that English does not have a lot of flexed inflection, okay, then its order has to be, according to him, relatively fixed, okay. So subject got to come first and something got to come, whatever. Many languages, and African languages, also are very inflection and tonal languages. So you can say the same thing, but if you change your tone, it has totally different meaning. All right. Now let's go to number meaning number 4, paragraph number 5. Would you somebody read it for me? What is the fourth part of this English language that he's analyzing?
As a consequence, fourthly, of the loss of reduction to the minimum of the instructions which English once had, is the growth of the use of paraphrases, or roundabout ways of saying things, and of the use of prepositions to take the place of the lost instructions.
Very good. Welcome back, Ife. We're on page 142. We're at the bottom, paragraph number 5, reason number 4. As he says in the paragraph, fourthly, very good, Nasha, you're right on the money. Okay, that's the fourth thing that he's analyzing and the fourth feature or part of English that he is now saying contributes to it being the spoken most widely in the world. All right, now let's look at paragraph number 6. What is the fifth quality, fifth feature that he's talking about, analyzing, okay, that he's elucidating or describing in his analysis? Because the whole thing is an analysis, okay? So what's that fifth quality? Somebody read it, please. It's paragraph number 6. Read the whole paragraph. All right, now, come on, read this paragraph, please, sir. All right, now are you here? Are you with us? All right, Safiya, read this paragraph, please. Right now, good to see that you're trying there. Press and hold the talk now button. Keep reading.
Bob, okay, I have to pull up the thing again because my conference and my computer was froze. I had to shut it down and restart it, so I have to pull this thing up again.
Sorry. All right, great. Then you'll be right in time for the next paragraph. In terms of this one, let's see here. Safiya, please read it. Are you here with us? Okay, Akanke, would you please read paragraph number 6, please? And are you looking for the fifth quality or feature or part of English that he's describing in his analysis?
The fifth quality of English, though this, like the loss of inflections and its consequences, is shared with some other languages, is the development of new varieties of intonation to express shades of meaning which were formerly indicated by varying the shapes of words. This perhaps somewhat comparable, though only in a small way, to the vast of the intonation of, in Chinese as a method of expressing meaning, and sometimes which would otherwise seem like series of unvarying roots. Consider, for instance, the wonderful variety of shades of meaning we may put in the use of the word do merely by varying the intonation, that is, the pitch and intensity, the tone of.
All right, so do you get that? What's the fifth quality of English then?
The voice. Loss of inflections and its consequences?
Not quite. It's the development of new varieties of intonation to express shades of meaning. Okay? All right. That's right. The development of new varieties of intonation. That's right, Ife. Very often, Safiya, it's achieved by voice, so that's, you're absolutely right. Okay? That is a development. That everything before the dash is parenthetical. You can say the fifth quality of English is the development of new varieties of intonation. Whenever you see two dashes like that, it's parenthetical. That means it can be taken out without changing the meaning. Doesn't mean it doesn't have some information. It just means that that information can be taken out. It's the same if it was commas set about. In this case, commas wouldn't be a good thing to use, however, because you already have a number of commas in it, and it would be confusing why that comma is there. So in this case, a dash is a better choice for others as well. So we got the fifth characteristic. All right. Now are you ready to tell us from paragraph 7 what's the sixth feature of English? All right, Isachar, what's the sixth Is there a six? Read that last paragraph for me. No, paragraph number seven, Isaac Charles, please.
Not all the above qualities are in themselves necessarily good, nor have they all contributed to the general success of English, but it seems probable that of them all, it is the acceptable receptiveness and the simplicity of infliction that we have done most in this regard. On the other hand, the very copiness and heterogeneous of English leads to vagueness or lack of clarity. Its resources are too vast for all but the well-educated to use to full advantage, and such phenomena as pidgin English, generally, that word's kind of smudged on my screen, jargon, wooliness of expression, and slatternly speech and writing are everywhere likely to be met with. It may fairly be said that English is to be among the easiest languages to speak badly, but the most difficult to use well.
So we're just finishing up the paragraph 7 on page 143. Okay. And thank you very much, Azachar. So that's a summary paragraph. All right, now let's look at the writer's craft here.
Bob Ocasa, I can't press F12 when I try to use the type, talk and read at the same time. So I have to read it kind of sideways because that's where it is on the browser. So is there another way to press talk now without F12? Or should I just restart the IR?
Well, sure. You can go up to File and Options, and you can don't have to use F12. You can put hotkeys, and you can make any other key that may work on your computer. That's a setting that you certainly can choose or make it optional so that it will come. The other thing is you can move your room to the right and the other page to the left, and so that you can have both of them up at the same time, or at least have access to the Talk Now button. And to do that, I usually pull my room all the way to the right, just showing only the Talk Now button. All right, and also print it out if you can. When I send it to you, if you connect it to a printer, print it out. That way you got it on your desk and you put it in your notebook. Let's look at few minutes we have left. Let's look at what he's saying in terms of the writer's craft, and then we'll see what your work is in terms of writing, trying your hand at it. Okay. Thank you, Ife. You are going to get paraphrases. Is another one from here. While this is showing you this, this is also one. We'll look at this this guy's writing because it'll help you in a strange kind of way because it's not it has a particular style to it that. As someone noted, he loves his nesses, so he changes a lot of verbs and makes them into nouns, but that's neither here nor there. All right, so let's look at how he did it. That's the part of the writer's craft. All right, how he did it. First, the introductory paragraph should arouse the reader's interest and state the topic of the composition. Does Wren's opening paragraph accomplish both of these objectives? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Can you repeat the question?
All right, I'm reading from the bottom of page 143, The Writer's Craft. An introductory paragraph should arouse the reader's interest and state the topic of the composition. Does Wren's opening paragraph accomplish both of these objectives? Akanke, what do you say? Safia, what do you say? Now, what do you say? All right, I think it does. Okay, but okay, great. Let's go. We got another question, and we're going through the writer's craft. This, and every section here, there is the writer's craft, a little bit how it accomplished. All right, the next sentence, bottom of page 143. The topic of the selection is presented in the form of a question. Do you find this technique effective, and why? The topic of the selection is presented in the form of a question. Is that, do you think that's an effective way to, do you think that's an effective way to present the topic? And the answer is why. And there's no right and wrong here. It's, why do you think it's an effective way? Why is it effective for you? Akilah, we're on page 143 down at the bottom under the writer's craft. All right, Nasha says, because it gets me thinking, gets people thinking. Questions very often do. Very good, Ife. That's also another one. It's likely that a reader will find the answer. All right, so as you keep on, this is introducing you to different crafts about why, in fact, the person is effective. All right, now we're going under, now we're going to the next page, 144. We have 2 minutes. All right. The first characteristic used by Wren is the heterogeneousness of the language. He stresses the importance of this characteristic. The second characteristic mentioned is the simplicity of inflection in the English language. And the third, fourth, and fifth characteristics related to this simplicity of inflection. Excuse me. Are the third, fourth, and fifth characteristics related to the simplicity of inflection? all right, I see your answer, Akilah, and Isachar. Would you understand the third, fourth, and fifth characteristics as well if you did not know what was meant by simplicity of inflection? Okay, now, this, the rest of this is your homework, okay? We've gone through number one, and I want you to finish it out. I want you to write out, okay? And there will be these lessons that we will do, okay? So that you get to say, okay, I want to, you have analysis. There are good reasons for the order in which he treats the first two characteristics. You know, are they equally good? That is, you have to answer these questions, answer them in written form, put them on the wiki. If you don't know how to do that, email them to me. If you put them on the wiki, email them to me in email anyway so that I know that you put it there. You have 1 through 6. Now go down, skip down. I'm not going to go all through each one of these. We'll go down to number 6. This is on page 144, okay, except for Akilah. Now you try it. Select a topic which can be carefully and logically analyzed. Write an essay of analysis that begins with an introductory paragraph, contains three or more developmental paragraphs, and ends with a summary paragraph. The following questions may suggest a topic for you to use. Okay? Now, you see, this is a little dated. Okay? The three branches of the national government might actually be useful to you because it may serve the purpose of helping you in your other class. Okay? What are the essential characteristics of? You can say Ebonics. How about that, as opposed to slang, if you want to? What features characterize all popular dances? Oh, that's really wow. Okay. What are the reasons for the popularity of folk songs, hip-hop? What is a good college? Oh, that's a good one, since it gives some of you a headed that way. What are the essential parts of a short story? So those are one that you might use. And if you don't want to, you can use others, but it has to be where your job is to match and surpass Wren, C.L. Wren, in creating a topic that is logically and carefully analyzed. All right. Any questions? Folks, please don't get behind on this because we're going to go through a number of these, all right? Any word in your homework page that you don't know, make sure you look up and put it in your vocabulary. So if heterogeneousness is certainly something going, I've heard of it and I used it. I just have never read it in that way. So paraphrases, inflection, those will be a part of your vocabulary quiz, because anytime you're reading something, we expect for you to put it in your vocabulary and study it. Okay, so what we'll have is we'll have a number of different kinds of your writing, and if you take good topics, then it will not just junk topics, then your portfolio will be very, very powerful because you have chosen topics that are timely, that you really care about, topics that are have to do with your time, and so you'll find your analysis will be wanting to be read and heard by others. All right, it's 2:33. I have you over by 3 minutes, and I apologize for that. I want you to take care. Please print this out so you can turn it in whatever order you need to. We're also going to do a similar thing for a description, although so you can read that area of description, and you don't have to have written the answer to the questions. This is due by Monday, 9 o'clock p.m. I do not want my homework coming in first thing that next morning. All right, I want to tell you that I appreciate you so much, you are the creme de la creme, as other folks would say, and I appreciate what you represent, how hard you work, how hard your parents work. All right, and any other appreciations as we close?
I appreciate everyone for coming to class. I appreciate everyone for working through the technical difficulties and staying persistent. Appreciate Bible Kessler for working through all he's had to work through today, and I'll see y'all in French.
I appreciate everybody. I appreciate Bob Kessler for being patient, and I appreciate my classmates paying attention in class and for getting our work done. And if anybody, okay, I'm kind of still on delay, but I'll see y'all in French. We're supposed to be over there right now.